John chapter number 6 is where we're going to be tonight in our lesson. And again, we started last week and we began talking about following God when God don't make sense. And you know, I kind of, and even a little skeptical when I even say that, I kind of feel a little weird saying that because God always makes sense in His own mind. And you remember last week we read the scripture about how our thoughts are not God's thoughts and God's ways are not our ways. His ways are much higher than ours. And you know, we always have to go back and believe in Romans 8:28, where he says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So we know that in the end, everything is going to work for our good, but sometimes it don't make sense how that's going to work for our good. Some of you have already been through some things in your life, and maybe even now, maybe it's been years past. Maybe things have happened, and it's been 5 years past, 10 years past, and you're still looking at it and going, now, how in the world did that work to my good? Or how in the world was that good for me? And I don't know that you'll ever know that answer on this side of eternity, but and there's things that happen in our life and we'll never understand how God was working. But maybe sometimes those things are not things that God caused, or it's not things that God did. But I believe that one day you'll be able to look back and say, well, you know, it may be hard to see how that God was good to me through that, or how that good happened out of that. But you can go back and see how God was there with you through all of that. But as we get into the scripture tonight and we're looking at how God doesn't make sense, or what do we do when God doesn't make sense? How do we respond? And we're looking at some examples in the Bible, and I think we're probably going to, for the next few weeks when we go through this, we're going to flip maybe from an Old Testament example to a New Testament example. Man, it is just full of examples. I actually started studying on one particular one at the beginning of the week, and as the week went on, I switched and started looking at something else. But the Bible is just full of examples of how when we look with our eyes, how we look with our emotions, how we look at what we think should be happening, what has actually happened don't make sense to us. It don't make sense at all. But if we'll follow God, God always comes through. John chapter number 6, very familiar scripture. I told you from the beginning that I'm not going to read you anything new that you just go, aha, I've never seen that before. Most of it's probably stuff that I've even preached before in the short time that I've been here. But as we look at this tonight, what do we do, or how are we following God when God don't make sense? John chapter number 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. I got to stop because I forgot to mention something that I wanted to. As we looked at last week and we looked at Moses and we looked at him bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they go out, and all of a sudden they're in front of the Red Sea, and it doesn't make sense that God led them to the Red Sea, knowing that Pharaoh was coming behind them. Did anybody else besides me look and say, you know what, I just can't believe, after all that these people have seen God do. Now look, they've been down here in bondage in Egypt. They've been slaves, and all of a sudden here comes Moses back, and Moses has his stick, it turns into a snake, and he turns the river into blood, and all of these plagues come along, and they see God moving in all of these amazing ways. Now, they've seen this, and they've seen God working and God doing what he needed to do to be able to turn them loose out of Egypt, to have Pharaoh to say, yeah, you can leave out of Egypt. Now, they've seen all of this, and they know that God's done it all. Did anybody else besides me think, why in the world, when they come up to the Red Sea, didn't they just keep singing and skipping and saying, hey, I know God's got this too? He done all of this. Man, when I go back and I read the book of Exodus and I see how that God made a way for the children of Israel, how that he provided water out of a rock and how manna fell from heaven and even the plagues and stuff where he brought them out of Egypt, I look and say, now after God did all of that, how in the world do they not trust him? How in the world when they got to the promised land and the spies went over and everybody but two come back and said, there's no way we can take it. How in the world did the children of Israel say, oh, yes, there is, because I remember what God did back in the wilderness. I remember the things that he done for us. But yet we look at the children of Israel and we say, I cannot believe that they couldn't trust God. But then when you turn right around to our lives, how many times have you come up against something that was tough in our lives? And have you come up against something that all of a sudden, this don't make sense while I'm here? Well, why don't we look back and say, I remember when God did this, and I remember when God did that. I'm going to trust God and go right on through it. It's a lot easier when you're looking at somebody else's life, isn't it? It's easy for me to watch Lynn go through a storm and say, Lynn, you just trust God. I know God don't make sense right now, but you just trust God. And that's great that we can encourage each other through that. But every now and again, we got to put ourselves in those shoes and in that same situation and go, well, now, wait a minute. What if this was in my life and God didn't make sense? Would I follow God? And so then we get to John chapter number 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, I want you to know that if I did have the power to heal, and I don't have the power to heal, if I did have the power to heal, first of all, I would be at Brenner's tonight. I wouldn't be here. I'd be down there touching them youngins and making them youngins better. So these guys that are on TV that say they have the power to heal, why ain't they somewhere anyway? Another story. All right, but if I did have that power, do you realize how full this place would be tonight? Do you realize how many people would be lined up on the outside of that? Now, look, I don't have that kind of power, but you just remember from Sunday, we was preaching about the power that Christ has given us through the cross, through the gospel. Man, if they just realized what kind of change that could give in their life, and maybe it wouldn't, maybe I can't heal their physical body, but Christ can heal them on the inside and give them a spiritual wholeness. But see, these people were following Christ because they seen all these miracles that he'd done. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Now look, I don't know if you've, let's keep reading, I'm going to get ahead of myself. And this he said, verse number 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread, or 200 days wages is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, look, Jesus, he said, you know, you say something about us going to buy bread, but 200 days wages worth of bread is not enough that they could just have a bite. So they could just have a little. He said, so there's no way that we can go buy enough food for all these people to eat. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I think he was from Ararat. And 2 small fishes. But what were they among so many? See, you know, as they come upon this and they see that there's all of those people and they see that the need is so great, but there's no way that they can supply that need. But you know, when Jesus asked them, he said, what are we going to do? You notice how the Bible says that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Sometimes when you're in your life and you see things in front of you and you feel like, man, what am I going to do? Don't get so wrapped up in it, because God already knows what he's going to do. Trust him. Lean on him. Easy for me to say tonight because I'm not in that situation, but I'm sure I have been, and I know that you have been in your life where you're going, okay, what am I going to do? Verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So we got about 5,000 men here, and all we have is a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. How in the world are we going to feed these people? Now, wait a minute, Jesus. You told us to make these people sit down like you're going to feed them. We've already discussed that there's no way that we can provide enough food for these people. There's no way 200 penny worth of bread is not even enough. So why? Don't even tell them sit down. Tell them go home. They all need to go home and they need to get something to eat, because there's no way that we can do it. But Jesus says, make them sit down, because he figured out that there was a couple of fish and some loaves of bread there. And the disciples, I wonder if they start going, okay, this don't make sense. Jesus, you're not making any sense, because you're acting like we're going to feed these people and we don't have nowhere near enough to feed these people. And Jesus begins to take these couple of fish and this bread. Let's continue reading. Verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, his disciples distributed. When they had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now see, if I was one of these disciples, and I'm looking at 5,000 people, look, I've been at homecomings before and seen the church full and a lot of visitors there, and began to think, oh my goodness, there's no way we got enough food to feed this many Baptists. There's not enough chicken back there. No possible way. But here, these people, they're looking at 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. They got a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. I don't care how big of a fish you've caught, a couple of fish. The Bible says 2 small fish and some loaves of bread. And he begins to hand them to his disciples and say, here, go feed these people. He's blessed it. And he says, begin to go. I wonder what the disciples' reaction was. I'm going to tell you what mine would have been. I'd have been like, hey, you other guys go ahead and pass that out. I'm going to stand over here and watch. Because I'm not going to be part of this. We fixing to get made fun of. We're fixing to get mocked. These people are fixing to laugh at us because here we are with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, and we're going to pretend like we're going to feed all these people. And as they begin to pass it out, I wonder if they was even almost apologizing, saying, I'm sorry, this is all we got. I'm sorry, I know this is not going to be enough, but here's a couple, get you something to eat here. I wonder if how they felt as they began to hand that out. I wonder if they was almost saying, I don't know about what Jesus is doing this time. I don't know. He may have slipped off his cracker a little bit. Even though they'd seen him do some amazing things, I wonder if when Jesus handed them those fish and that bread, if they began to think, there's no possible way. This don't even make sense why we would pretend that this is going to work. This don't even make sense that we would even begin to do this. Why in the world would he ask us to do this? Because we know that there's nowhere near enough to feed all these people. But yet the disciples, they took what Jesus gave them, and they said, okay, now we're going to begin to pass this out. And the Bible tells us that they went and they began to pass out the fish and the bread, and how that Jesus had blessed that fish and he had blessed that bread. And they begin, and look what it says there at the end of verse number 11. He says, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now look, I've got a 15-year-old that is like a bottomless pit. And about any time that we go eat with somebody at their house, I say, now look, Si, go easy. Don't you eat all you can eat. Because I know how he is. He can keep going. I said, you just get just a little something and eat it, and then wait about 15 or 20 minutes. If you're still hungry, get you some water and try it again. Because I know how he can eat. But look, you notice right here, the Bible didn't say that they took a bite or two. It doesn't say that they said, no, don't get but so much. The Bible says that they got what they would. They got all that they wanted. Verse number 12, and when they were filled. What? When they were filled? There's 5,000 people and a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And the Bible's telling us that they got all that they wanted and they were filled. He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now these disciples, I would have been, they may not have been, and I don't mean to be speaking on their behalf, but I would have been, man, this is crazy. This don't even make sense. Why would I even do what God has asked me to do or what Christ has asked me to do? Because there's no possible way that this is going to work. But so many times, even in my spiritual life, God asked me to do things, and I say, God, I can't do that. There's no possible way that this is going to work. This don't even make sense because, you know, for one thing, I don't have the spiritual strength to do what you just asked me to do. I don't have the spiritual knowledge to do what you just asked me to do. And I'm not claiming to be spiritually smart whatsoever. I'm not claiming to know anything about anything. But what I'm saying is, even when y'all asked me to come here and pastor, I was like, there's absolutely no way I can go down there and pastor. I mean, they've had guys down there that's got degrees and stuff, and I'm just an old country boy, and I don't even know a whole lot about God's word. I want to learn more, and I want to seek God and know more. But I don't even know a whole lot about God's word. How in the world am I going to go and preach to them? Because finally one day they're all going to go, look, we are all now dumber for listening to that than we would have been. You know, that's kind of the way that you know I was thinking in my mind. But when we finally get past of what don't make sense to us, and we just say, you know what, God, it's not about whether it's in my strength or not, because in my strength I can do nothing. But when I finally just say, God, okay, here's my ability, here's what little bit that I have, you take and do what you want with it. It's amazing what God can do with you if you just turn loose and give it to God. See, this little lad didn't say, no, you can't have my two fish and my loaves of bread because it's not going to help anything anyway. He didn't say, there's no way that there's going to be enough. He just said, here, you can have it if you want it. And Jesus took what he had. Jesus knew exactly what he had, just like God knows exactly the spiritual strength. He knows exactly the spiritual knowledge that you have. And he's just saying, I want you to give me all you got, and then I'm going to take it, and I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to use it, and it'll be amazing what God can do. How many times have you maybe felt like God wanted you to witness to somebody? God wanted you to tell somebody about his love, that he loved them so much that he gave Jesus to die for them. And you feel like, well, I don't know enough about the Bible to witness to somebody. I don't know enough careful of what to say to tell somebody about Christ. I don't know, because I can't, and there's no way in the world that what I've got is going to be enough. Well, I'm going to tell you something, that if God puts it on your heart and God instructs you to talk to somebody, and you can tell the difference. I've witnessed to people on my own before, and I believe that that's okay too. Just give them a little something. Talk to them about Jesus for a minute. But when God speaks to you and you know that God's leading you to tell somebody about Christ and his love that he had for them, I promise you that you'll know enough. You'll be able to tell them something that'll get their heart going, that'll get their mind going. There may come a time and a question that they have that you say, well, I don't know the answer. But you know what? Whatever you said, the Holy Spirit's going to take whatever you said and he's going to work with that. You have to allow God to bless what you said in the time that you said it in order for something to take effect anyway. And we're really sure that God blesses what little bit we say. God already told us that his word will not return void. Give him a little bit of God's word. And I tell you what, and if you know about how God changed your life and you tell him about that, God will take that and bless it. You know the reason that the Bible tells us what God did for people in Bible times. But people need to know that God's still doing those same things today, that he's still changing people's lives today. But you may be saying, I don't have enough strength. What I have is not enough. I don't have enough knowledge. I'm not comfortable doing things that God asked me to do. Well, how do you think those disciples felt with a couple of fish and a few loaves? You think they was real comfortable passing that out? I feel like I said, they was thinking, boy, we look stupid. There ain't no way I'm going to have enough. Why are we even doing this? This don't make sense. But yet they took what God had given them, what the little lad, what he gave up and what Christ had blessed, and he said, we're going to go do it just because he told us to. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to do anything for God. Well, I want to tell you something. If only the people that were worthy did anything for God, then nobody would do anything for God. Because I don't care if you start at Billy Graham and go all the way down to me. There is nobody that's worthy to do anything for God, except for you have the blood of Christ on your life, and that makes you worthy. Don't let the devil talk you down. Don't let him blow you up. Don't let him tell you that you're not worthy, because the blood of Christ is what makes us worthy. But you know, sometimes we struggle with things. Look, I'm going to give this for an example, and I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm not trying to, don't take it. There is nothing wrong. If you have trouble with this, there is nothing wrong with it, and I don't mean it in no certain way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm just using it for an example. And if it hits you right upside the head, then you just have to take your lump upside the head and go home. That's all I can tell you. But there are still a lot of people, a lot of Christians that I know, that have trouble praying out loud. They have trouble praying in a public setting. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that if you have trouble praying in a public setting that you're any more or less saved than anybody else, or you ought to be ashamed. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I'm just saying, the ones that I have talked to, using this for an example, say, well, I don't know what to say. So, I hear you talk a whole lot of times when you don't know what to say, but you talk anyway, right? See, the thing of it is a lot of times when we get to the place where we don't do things because we're saying God don't make sense, we don't have, me especially, we don't have enough faith or enough gumption about us, or whatever you want to call it, to not worry about what everybody else thinks. Because if I worried about what everybody else thought, I'd never pastor this church, because, I mean, they'll rag you in just a minute. Amen, Lynn? No, but I'm kidding. But, you know, a lot of times when I talk to people, they say, well, I just can't pray in a public setting. I can't pray out loud. They're worried about what everybody else thinks. They're worried about somebody else thinking, well, I can't believe he said that in a prayer. Hey, man, you're just talking to your daddy. You're talking to your heavenly Father. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. So at the end of church tonight, I'm going to call on three or four that's never prayed out loud and let y'all pray out loud. I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to do that. I would not do that. Okay, but let's take it even further to witnessing or whatever you want to teach. We can sit back and say, well, I don't have the strength. I don't have the spiritual knowledge. I'm not comfortable. This don't make sense. We can do whatever. But what we may be doing is limiting what God can do with what he has given us. You might be holding two fish and five loaves of bread that could feed a multitude. And because it don't make sense, or because you feel inadequate, or because you don't feel worthy, we take our fish and our loaves of bread and we go home. And we still got our two stinking old fish and our bread. When it could have been so much to the multitude, it could have taken care, it could have filled so many people. But yet, because it doesn't make sense to us that God would want to use us, it doesn't make sense to us how that God's strength is going to be adequate. It doesn't make sense to us that God's going to give us the right words, or even if we don't have the right words, we just go, I don't know. James is trying to help me learn some scripture, and he gave me some, I can't even remember what, verses for life, I think is what it's called. And I'm trying to memorize verses, and I'm not doing so great with it. And every time I get around James, I'm scared to death that he's going to ask me, what's that verse say? Because I'm going to go, I don't know. You tell me, start it. If you start it, I might can finish it. And so sometimes I dodge James. No, I don't really dodge you, James. I don't do that. But we're so worried about what somebody else may think. Hey, if I don't know that scripture, hey, the more experienced adult class that goes to Libby Hill and have your Christmas party, and y'all do help me, trivia at the end. And one of the categories is the Bible. And I'm like, please don't pick the Bible. Please don't pick the Bible, because everybody expects me to know the Bible. But, you know, it's not about that. It's not about what do you know. I know what I know in my heart, and I'm trying my best to learn more about God's Word. But I know that I'm inadequate. I know that my spiritual knowledge is not abundant. I'm not comfortable in some situations. But sometimes when God don't make sense, and it don't make sense that God would use somebody like me, and you may be feeling like tonight it don't make sense that God would use somebody like you, it doesn't make sense that God used two little fish and five loaves of bread when he could have rained manna down from heaven, he could have had a whale jump out of the ocean, he could have provided steak if he wanted to, but yet he just wanted to find somebody that was obedient and said, here you go, you can have all I've got. God only wants all you got, because that's all he gave you. Are we willing to quit worrying about whether it makes sense that God's going to use us or not, and to say, God, I'm going to take what you've given me. I'm going to give it back to you. Whatever it is, I'm going to give it back to you. I want you to take me and use me. And look, after, if you continue reading, after all these people ate and were filled, the Bible says that they were filled, that they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And I heard somebody say one time, well, that was one for each of the disciples. Well, could be, but I feel like that little boy took 12 baskets home to his mama and said, look what happened to my two fish and my five loaves of bread that you packed me today. Look what God did with what you gave me. And you know what? I think that's what God wants to do with our life. The only obstacle in God blessing us and God increasing us is us. And when we finally quit worrying about whether it makes sense or not, that God would use us, that God would call us, that God would ask us, if we quit worrying about that and just saying, God, take me, use me, let me do anything that I can for you, there's no telling what God may do for your life. So, get your two fish and your five loaves out, and whether it makes sense to you or not, give them to God and say, do what you want to with them. Take me and use me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I just want to thank you for this time that you've given us to get in your word. And God, I know even in my life, I don't have any idea why you called me to preach. I don't have any idea why you even saved me. But God, I want to thank you for the call that you've put on my life. God, I want to thank you for letting me be one of your children. But God, I still know that I hold back so many times because it don't make sense to me why you would use somebody like me. Why you would ask me to witness to somebody because I'm afraid my knowledge ain't enough. Why even sometimes in praying in front of others, God, I'm more worried about what they think about what I'm saying more so than just having a conversation with my Heavenly Father. God, I pray that you'll help us, that we'll give you all that we have, that we'll allow you to bless it, that God, you can take something so small as two fish and five loaves of bread and you can feed 5,000, or you can take what you've given us and you know exactly how much that is, and you can take that, and you can bless it, and others can come to know Jesus Christ through our ability or our lack of ability if we just give it all to you. God, I pray that you'll just continue to touch our church. God, I pray that you'll help us to grow in the way that you see fit, most of all, to grow closer to you. God, I pray for our young families in our church that you'll be with them, strengthen them. God, I pray that you'll help us to always be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.